In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm your co-host, Sarah Levine, and I'm here with my two lovely co-hosts.
Danny Murphy, hey.
And Casey Balsham. Hello, world.
We're in this.
That was so energetic.
I know. You were bringing the heat.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate
Casey's
that.
Bringing the heat. So is this room.
Yes. So is Mother Nature.
It
so
wouldn't
is
be an July. Episode of this show if we didn't complain about this fucking room. Sorry,
no.
guys. But it's true.
Yes.
I'm just so sweaty by nature. And then the room doesn't help.
No, it
sweaty
doesn't.
By nature. That's the name of my band
in
high school.
I was going to say, you're a hip-hop group. Sweaty by nature.
Sweaty by nature.
Let's play a fun game.
Let's do it.
It's, I don't know, I feel like it's both a game and like probably one of those prompts on Hinge where it's like, what would be your last meal before you die if you could pick?
And also like futuristic seamless. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So your last meal. Oh, sorry, do you have one?
I mean, I'm pretty basic. I feel like mine would be sushi.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Any kind specifically or would you just get like...
Just, I would wild out and get like all those crazy rolls that I can never afford to get while I'm
like
alive.
The ones with like lobster eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. With like ponzu
like,
sauce.
Yeah. Like eel or like six different types of fish. One of them is fried. There's mango in there for no reason. Like
she
that kind of wild.
She got
shit.
A bento box on a deathbed.
Yep. Hey, you know.
You have to. Sometimes sushi is a sushi is self care.
That is. Yeah. Oh. And you just feel so like
it very is.
So I have it like all the time.
Doing it, which is so funny because you're like, what is classy about like dipping rice in sodium? But like, it really sets me off.
Spending $30 and getting it and being like, I forget that I'm never full.
I know. It's like then just going to get Doritos.
Yeah. And then just throwing away the salad and the soup and never remembering to be like, just don't fucking
just
add it.
Don't
add it. I'm not going to drink
that
or
salad.
Eat this.
No, I don't want iceberg lettuce.
With just the ginger dressing though, I do fuck.
No,
it
thank is you. Good. It is no, good. Thank you.
Just send it to me. Post
ginger
me.
Dressing. Yeah. That's a no for me, dog.
Just Venmo it to Danny. Yeah.
I used to have a meal. It was a very basic meal. It was a pepper jack steak quesadilla.
Ooh.
I know. There's just something really familiar about. I also go through phases where I crave tortillas like in a bad way.
What?
I'm currently in one right now. I think about them. I want them.
Just plain?
I just love tortillas. With a little butter, a little nutritional yeast and salt on it. Come on, stop
nutritional
it.
Nutritional yeast.
Do you guys nutritional yeast it up?
I do. That,
that is not
vegan.
Put that shit on popcorn. Change
what
your life.
What does it do?
It doesn't do anything, really. It almost tastes like nothing, but I put it on. I put it on my bonza pasta. Yeah. I put it on.
I love bonza pasta.
Put it on. It just.
But
it
what
kind
does it
of,
add for you?
I don't
it,
know.
It gives a nice little like hint of a flavor.
It's like the LaCroix of flavoring.
Oh my god,
it's
just
like
use
barely.
A spice.
It makes my meal just $7 more expensive by buying
it. Yes. I just love it. It's just it's like I don't know, have you ever tried like Marmite or Vegemite? Like kind of like the thick yeast.
Okay,
but it's
gross.
Yeast as well.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we had in London we had Marmite and cheese sandwiches on like a crusted sourdough.
Oh god. I'm so sorry for you.
No, it was delightful. We ordered some from the internet. We have Marmite in our cabinet right now. From the internet we found it.
In London is cool.
So I found Casey's new super secret serial killer habit.
I like Marmite.
Marmite.
But it used to be, pepper jack quesadilla. I think now I would probably just go like a straight filet steak, medium rare, a little blue cheese crumbles on the top, some potatoes on the side, and probably like a bottle and a half of wine.
That's all the wine. I would just drink myself
all the wine.
To death.
I would not even pretend like I could stop at one bottle. I would take the second half bottle.
And just
throw some ice cubes in there. I'm not ashamed.
It's so funny because since I'm vegan, as we know from the donut challenge.
Oh, God.
Whenever I get asked this question, everyone's like, oh, what would be someone's last meal? And then they go, Danny, I'm really interested to hear about yours. Like, they think it's like I'm just going to flip and be like, and they, it's like
you're
going to
like one single piece of tempeh.
Like, cheeseburger.
Yeah. yeah. I'm just like, oh, chicken nuggets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it'd be like, I'm such like a Thai food fan.
Yeah.
I think I want to get like don don noodles that are just like the super spicy hot ones.
Ooh.
Pad see ew.
Ooh,
dumplings,
like
steamed dumplings, yeah,
yes.
Scallion pancakes. We're going all over. It's mainly just the menu from Mimi Chen's.
Sounds delicious. Why did we do this game now? I'm fucking hungry.
So I know. Starving.
And then a Diet Coke, a Sauvignon Blanc, a Pinot Noir, and then a martini. I'm just gonna have a tasting menu through all of that.
I forgot about martini.
Right.
Oh,
I need, and then with like three olives on it, I'm just gonna. 1, 2, 3.
Are
you
a dirty,
pull the trigger.
Dirty martini?
Dirty martini.
Do you dirty martini, Sarah?
I don't drink martinis.
God damn it. We have to. Can we make you do it one
can
night?
Can we? No. We're all going to go out Please? And get martinis.
Gross. Well, I don't like gin also.
You can do vodka.
No, no, we do vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah, ugh. Absolutely ugh. Vodka.
And you, it,
somehow
dirty
that sounds worse.
With no, a dirty
martini,
I promise you.
Dirty martini is like, the one with olive juice?
Yes. It okay. just tastes like olives. It's cold.
I like olives in your
I
salad,
like olives.
Right? Yeah.
I can do that fine.
I actually sometimes I have them shake in a splash of Tabasco, which is just some real. So it's got a little
that
bit of a spice
good.
Kick. It's actually really, really I've good.
Had, yeah, there's where it's at the Smith. Have you had the Dirty Jane
I used
Martini
to work at the
there?
Smith.
Oh, mm-hmm. they have like a tomato, like a fried
the,
green.
It's the, yeah, it's the tomato brine.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds yep. good.
They have a drink there called Sam's Rum Punch. And if I may tell you, as somebody that used to work there, there's too much rum in that. I drank one with a friend. Nothing happened. I drank two with a friend. Nothing happened. After three, did not recognize said friend. After
what?
I came back to the bathroom. Rum makes you dumb. Be careful.
Oh, man.
I came back. I was like, who is this nice gentleman chatting with
hey.
Me? And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? So shout out, Eric. Hi, friend.
Eric.
Do you know what they say about martinis, though? They're
what?
Like boobies.
Yeah.
One is not enough. Two is just plenty. Three is too many.
And then I
is
remember.
Is that a thing?
It's like, that's I love thing. Martinis, but two at the most. Three, I'm under the table. Four, I'm under the host.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fun, too.
So
oh,
if you
wow.
want three tits and to fuck a host. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I want to do every weekend.
Wait.
So.
None of us said a dessert we would have with our last meal.
I'm not a dessert,
not
person.
A dessert person.
What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Guys, I'd rather just eat like more cheese than have dessert.
Yeah. That's what well, you
I
could have
do
a cheese
like,
platter for dessert, but after sushi.
Yes. That's why I'm. I should just move to France because they eat cheese for dessert there and it's not
That's
weird.
True.
They do. They eat cheese for you can do that here.
I mean I can do that, but
nobody
it's
stops
not customer.
You.
Also, like what restaurant do you know that has a cheese platter for dessert?
Bouvette, the same place where it has my favorite chocolate mousse for dessert. You can get cheese there and they put some of them has honey on it, some of them has a little olive oil, but they absolutely
so
have cheese for dessert there. It's on the
okay.
dessert page, but
that
it's a French
great.
Place.
Yeah,
so you're
see?
Right.
Oh, see?
Yes. But honestly, if you like you it's so cute. Have you ever been?
Yeah, well it's funny. One of my friends, we were like thinking just like, oh, let's do like a nice like a quick little like brunch place. And she pulled up like Google Maps. She's like, should we do Bouvette? And I'm like, that's not a
oh, for brunch it's cute too.
I was like, we didn't go for that, but I went for dinner one night because I was like, I'm not just gonna do like a casual brunch at Bouvette, but we went for a dinner and it was so good.
Oh,
where
yeah.
is it?
It's Bleecker. No, it's not on Bleecker. It's on it's right. It's in the village.
Yeah.
It's real close
east,
to
east west.
It's by the duplex. Like it's off of Christopher. It's
yeah.
got it. Okay.
It's near like Stonewall.
It's no, it's not on Bleecker. I forget which street, but honestly, their chocolate mousse is the best
Ooh.
Thing. And then they have an apple tart that's like not even sweet. It's great. It's
wow.
It's
so
lovely.
We need to have like a martini food tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do
oh my
that.
Gosh, now I'm hungry. Damn it! Why did we do this?
Sorry.
I know. Well, you know what? We'll curb your appetite. Talking about.
Talking
Joe's
about.
Talking about. Yeah.
Mass murder.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. Obviously, we had to talk about this.
Yep.
I feel like it's a classic. That sounds bad to say.
But it's a hit. It's one of the hits.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a heavy hitter.
Sometimes we do this, the
it's
weird
Dreams
ones. Sometimes,
by Fleetwood Mac.
Yep,
yeah, you know
sometimes
what?
We play
yeah.
the hits. You don't go see Van Morrison without hearing Brown Eyed Girl. Because he did. I saw him one time. He didn't play it.
What?
I'm telling you,
how
riots,
dare he?
Riots. You know, he's over it.
Oh my gosh, how dare he?
This is the brown-eyed girl of crimes. Oh God, sorry.
Yes, let's go with that. Jonestown, as you know, was started by Jim Jones. According to Britannica, he was born May 13th, 1931, in Indiana. He was a regular churchgoer as a child. Already can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
He was apparently a loner during his youth. He would entertain his playmates in the loft of his family's barn and literally make them his captive audience doing weird shit. Literally captive audience. Literally one time he even locked up his friends in the barn. He would also perform experiments on animals and conduct funerals for them.
That's just the
also
sign.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Also, apparently, one time he took a bunch of local kids on a trip to the local casket factory, which, like, why do you guys have one of those?
Yeah.
And then he had them all lie down in the caskets to pretend they were dead. I heard that on last podcast on the left. And he did this multiple times. Yeah, like, it wasn't creeped. Just a one-off thing. This dude was crazy.
And also, do you think the people at the casket factory be like, hey, kid.
Yeah, why did they let them in there?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there wasn't,
the 40s were probably a weird ass time.
I was saying, there's no like TV or video games. They were like, the kids were playing on the caskets again. They weren't loving, well, they might have been loving Lucy, but maybe not as much as they should have been, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Even an old friend described him as a weird child who once killed a cat with a knife. So like we said, these are just the classic sociopath signs. He also, great dude, had a fascination with Hitler, especially his suicide, which is, again, super foreshadowing.
It's crazy.
Like, he was super into how, instead of getting caught by the Allied forces, Hitler was like, meh, guess I'll just die. And killed himself. He thought that was very cool. And he was also obsessed with death and religion as a child.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
You got to wonder how, as a child, you're like, I'm upset. Like, I mean, I guess it happens. People do get, you get fixated on the things you're fixated on. But sad that, you know, as a child, you don't have your childhood and you just think about death and Hitler.
Yeah.
Not that I feel
very
bad for
dark.
Jim Jones.
No, I don't feel bad
for
him. But
yikes.
But what a weirdo.
Yeah. What a weirdo.
It's so weird. Like, imagine going on a dating app today and it's like, interest, death,
Hitler.
And Casket Factory.
Like,
oh, I think you meant Cheesecake Factory. No.
No. That's not
casket.
A typo. Casket Factory.
Yeah. His kind of like preoccupation with religion led him to join the ministry after he graduated from Butler University, and he became a self-ordained Christian minister. How legit is that?
I'm a Christian minister.
Right. I'm a Christian. It's like,
we're
captain,
all Christian
my captain.
Ministers.
Yeah.
Does that, did that work?
I'm Spartacus. Yeah. I think we can legally marry people now.
Oh, okay.
DMFC wanted to officiate your wedding.
Thank you so much.
And then in the 50s and 60s, he gained a reputation for being a charismatic leader. The biggest and craziest thing was that he was actually super progressive.
He was.
Like, he supported integration, and a lot of his followers in the People's Temple were black.
Yeah, because he was like, he had a black family too. Like, he adopted kids.
Yeah.
He also followed, there was did you guys, I forgot to write down his name, but he kind of took a lot of his teachings from this guy called
Dr. Divine.
Dr. Divine, yeah.
That was wild.
Who was like this kind of, I mean, he was kind of a controversial preacher as well, but he was very, again, charismatic, and this is
kind
somebody that Jim Jones very much took his lead from.
And then he tried to take over his congregation.
He did try to take,
he died, and then his wife was like, no.
Hell no. But he did get a couple of the followers.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you're interested in hearing more about that, look it up, because it's a little bit of a crazy
twist
to this.
There's so much to Jim Jones. It's like, where do you even like start?
Yeah.
He started establishing his own churches eventually. In 1955, it started with this church called the Wings of Deliverance, which was a Pentecostal church. And I also remember hearing that he just got super into like the weird parts of, I don't know, is it the Pentecostal church, like the weird one? Like, he was doing all those like revivals and fake healings and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, because he went on to do some like fake healings in the main thing. But I saw that it was, is the Disciples of Christ Church the same with the Pentecostal? Because when I was reading about that, it was like too many weird points. But it all, what I gathered was that it was very like strict. It was like, you have to do this, you have to follow this. You have a leader. But like, it was a very constricting religion.
Yeah, the Pentecostal Church, I think, is definitely one of the crazier ones.
Yeah.
Yikes. I don't know. Eventually, this became known as the People's Temple, which is the church that we're going to be talking about. And I kind of mentioned this earlier, but it's like interesting because he could have been a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, he preached to a predominantly African-American congregation, which, as a white guy in Iowa in like the 50s and 60s,
very was progressive. Like,
very progressive. Yeah.
On paper. Yeah.
Yeah. He even served as a director of Indiana's Human Rights Commission in the early 60s. And he fought for civil rights. He worked a lot with the homeless. And he was, a lot of like local politicians and activists sided with him, notably Harvey Milk, Angela Davis.
When I saw all of those, when I was researching this, I was like, oh shit. Like,
well, you got to think, like, it seems like, obviously later on we'll get into like his paranoia and his drug use, but it seems like maybe he just kind of had like a mental, like he kind of snapped. And at one point he was trying to do something for the greater good,
like,
and then
it
just took it into the wrong directions.
Opposite.
I actually, I have a quote that I had found from one of the supporters that kind of was just like, you know, all the stuff that we were actually doing was good. We were just doing it in the wrong place under the wrong leader. So a lot of the work that they were trying to accomplish was good. Was for the greater good.
The church wasn't even the People's Temple wasn't really a particularly like religious church. It was mostly just about socialist values. It wasn't like super religious initially.
Yeah.
It was just more like this political kind of agenda. And even at the height of its popularity in the 70s, they had thousands of members. And like I said, were even supported by local politicians in San Francisco. So they kind of started in Indiana. Eventually, Jones moves his church to Northern California in like 1965-ish because he was afraid of a nuclear war.
So there's when you start to see a little bit of a crazy. Yep.
Huh. Yeah. And he was literally like, the nuclear war is going to happen on this day in 1967.
Yeah. He like had a whole day and then he did some research, I guess, and he found like this place in Northern California that apparently would be blocked.
It reminded me a lot of like, remember like the Mayan calendar thing that happened in 2012 and everyone's like, it's going to happen. You're like, where are you?
And you're like, no. You're like, all right, let's go to a frat party one last time. Yeah. That was what I did in 2012.
Yeah.
So from Northern California, they settled in San Francisco in 1970. There was also a church in LA in 1972.
Yeah.
But.
So he was branching out. He was getting some wings.
And kind of like what we were saying with, he seemed like a kind of good guy who had a head on his shoulders for the most part, no one would really.
It's like that meme. I feel like, did you guys see that meme where they like describe people like by these like types of qualities, and then it's like, gotcha, I just described Hitler, you know?
Oh yeah.
You're like, oh, this guy was an artist and a vegetarian. Like, was he a good dude? And you're like, sure. And it's like, nope, that's Hitler. And you could say the same thing about Jim Jones. You're like, he was an activist for integration and like all this other shit. And you're like, surprise.
I'm realizing his birthday is like 2 days before Hitler's. Because isn't Hitler May 15th?
No.
I don't know.
I think because
isn't Hitler's on 420?
No, that's when he died.
Oh.
I believe because I know he's a Taurus. Because Elise has a really funny joke about it. Shout out to Elise Morales.
She's a joke about Hitler being a Taurus. Yeah, because
she was like, they have the same like earth and rising sign or something like that. And she was like, and she was reading about it. She's like, oh, it says that I can be very like strong and persuasive, but it can go really bad. Most notably, Hitler.
Oh boy. Sorry, Tauruses.
So I'm a Taurus. Shout out.
You can come out from under that rock. Yeah.
So yeah, this Taurus preaching guy seemed great, but he didn't always practice what he preached in his personal life.
Right.
I feel like I said no D's in that sentence, but we're moving on.
You did great.
In December 1973, he was arrested for lewd conduct at an LA movie theater, which is just...
Yikes.
Pee Wee Herman status. Absolutely. Pee Wee Herman status is also Gypsy Rose status. Yeah.
He was jimmying his Jones. Sorry, guys.
Oh. Danny just fell over. That's how.
That was like.
That's how good that joke was.
That was our last brain synapse snapsing.
Thank you literally, so much.
Danny's one remaining brain cell.
You can see me nightly performing in my house.
At Bouvet.
At Bouvet with wine and cheese.
On the apoteur.
Yeah, honestly, I know. They have like hot French waiters too.
Do I go there tonight? I'm starving.
Okay. This episode was sponsored by Bouvet.
Bouvet, Mimi Chen's,
and sushi. This air conditioner that we're not turning off. Fuck you. If you can hear it, we're sorry. It was
Page
making
one
us
and
crazy.
We snapped, guys. So buckle the fuck in. But he was a very active humanitarian, kind of what you were saying.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, was treating the members of his organizations not that great.
Yeah.
Which is what I realized a little bit later on.
Yeah, they started, I think when things sort of started to go off the rails was, which I think this is what happened with most cults, is that you get accused of mistreatment and they start to investigate and then you're like, oh, gotta move to some like remote commune somewhere, like
gotta fence them in,
literally
you gotta contain the chickens.
And kind of when like he learned that from when he was a kid doing this with his
with his casket field trips. Yeah.
That's such a gross foreshadow that he was like putting kids in caskets and then what obviously will unfold in this massacre.
And we saw he started to get like addicted to pharmaceutical drugs and he
it was like crap. What was
that?
It
was
like speedish, right?
It was speed. Yeah. Speed, like the final moments in Jonestown, he was just like on a ton of speed apparently.
Yikes.
But
and that's kind of going back to what you were saying. It's like when you just like, now there's like this addicted beast in him.
Now
that is
there's
just,
a lot. Yep. Yeah, there's no stopping it.
No. Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
But he and then kind of jumping ahead, there were times where he like engaged in sexual relations with a lot of his followers that we saw that we see, which is kind of just, we see that in a lot of cults, but not what you want to see from a preacher who you've heard before being kind of like this great guy who worked in the human rights campaign and everything like that.
Yeah.
So apparently I listened to this on last podcast on the left, but apparently he like convinced or coerced probably one of the male followers to let him have sex with his wife, and then the wife got pregnant and the guy had to like give this statement, like, renouncing his kid, and like he was like, oh, I let Jim Jones have sex with my. It was like, so it was mad bizarre.
There was a lot of weird shit. There was a lot of weird shit. Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of kids that were misplaced from their families, yeah. and yep. that he was, yeah.
And why also are cult leaders always just like trying to fuck everybody in the
they
cult?
Are so.
It's a power thing.
Yeah.
You think that's why we don't have like crazy cults like this anymore? Because I guess there was Nexium.
Yeah.
Now we have Tinder, but.
I was like,
now
we got porn and Tinder, but no, it's not working for
and
Hollywood.
And we have the Sarah Lawrence guy.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have not read that story yet.
It's way long. It's very long. So just buckle up. It's like, I mean, it's a cut article, so you know you'll be there for five fucking hours.
No, really. Yeah. They don't cut anything out of the car. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They don't,
No, I did it in an entire 45-minute subway commute. It was intense.
It's Ooh. Long. It's a really long, but it's very really interesting. Good. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So people had said something about the Sarah Lawrence cult. So that's still happening. Shit's happening.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Also a kind of crazy thing, he also believed that he was the only heterosexual man, and he would just tell all of his followers that they were gay.
What? Yeah.
Which is something,
and that they were like forcing it or something.
I've tried to tell my friends that, my straight friends that, and they don't listen to me. They just cut me. They say, Danny, you've had enough Pinot Noir. So they're like, sorry, Danny. Matt and Chris.
he believed he was the only heterosexual.
Yeah, which
that's
is
such a weird flex.
It's that power trip you get because it's probably the thing where he's like, I'm the only man in this town, and like I need to procreate. And like,
yeah.
But I think he also did have sex with some of his male followers.
But
so
I feel
it's
like in the Roman way where he's just like, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
All the Romans were having gay sex and no one talks about it.
Yeah. Right. Everybody, they just called it sex then. They probably were just like, I guess I'm just having sex with people.
Where do you think Caesar salad dressing
Who do you think cut them tiny ass little bangs?
Yeah.
That's the work of a boy band leader.
Yes.
So after you're kind of realizing that he became super obsessed with himself and he compared himself to like Jesus.
Very chill.
Oh boy.
Which is, you know. I feel like a preacher shouldn't really do that, but
that's one of the major signs that you're in a cult is when the leader starts calling themselves the God.
I was thinking that it's Jesus, because I think he also went by Father
and the prophet,
which is just like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is just like a sad indie band. It's either a sad indie band or a cult leader.
Yep.
You hear the prophet
for real.
But he was accused also of illegally diverting income of cult members for personal use.
Typical cult stuff.
Super
literally.
Cult.
Cult stuff.
That's a kind of insane thing too with cults. It's like all the stuff happens under different circumstances, but they almost everything is identical in a sense.
It's like diverting the money. That's the like life insurance on a husband murdering a wife.
Yeah.
It's like, give me your money.
Because he like made everybody give up their jobs and like they weren't allowed to have like identities, I think, right? I think he was holding up. Well, when they moved to Guyana, like he held all their passports and stuff.
Which you're then like, you're actively captured.
And then it's like, what are you doing with that stuff?
Yeah.
In 1977, with a lot of like allegations are mounting. Yeah. So this is when you were saying he moved the cult to Guyana. And
people started thinking of all places.
And this is where he set up the commune that is called Jonestown. So that's kind of where the name for everything comes from.
Yeah.
Also, that's got to be a cult sign, is if you name the commune after yourself.
Yeah.
And also you just go, hey, everyone, just come on.
But I think I read that Guyana was like it's the only country in South America where they speak English, where English is the main
Venezuela?
Language. What?
I think it's in Venezuela.
I thought that's what again, I read. Again, this is not a geography podcast.
We're under the history section.
I read that Guyana, maybe it's just this is in this town, but that their first language was English.
That makes
and
sense.
That essentially they had enough shit going on, so they allowed them to have this thing that were like governed themselves.
The government was like pretty sympathetic.
They were like,
to like,
take care of whatever you want.
This type
and
of
that's
shit
how
they
he
knew
was
they wouldn't.
Getting a lot of people to jump in because he was promising like this utopian world where people would have to be like, it was kind of like, oh, I forget what country he was modeling the work day off of, but it'd be like the 8 hours of work and 8 hours of like worship and research and stuff like that, and then 8 hours of sleeping.
Sounds terrible.
For 6 days a week, which is just kind of like, that just sounds like hell.
Who would do that willingly?
He was pivoting in a way where it was like, no, you work for the land, you're kind of part of the land, and then you're all going to read together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably made it sound fun.
Yeah, but then also on top of that, he manipulated the followers and blackmailed them and threatened them. So with all the physical violence, a lot of stuff that we even saw with like the NXIVM episode happening. Yep. And he would yeah. beat them and would do fake cancer healings.
Yeah.
I so also read,
Elizabeth Holmes could never.
She yeah. could never. I read something that also reminded me of NXIVM where he would like make these people write fake letters saying that they'd abuse their kids and stuff, like to keep yes. as blackmail. Oh my God.
Well, he very much was trying to get like families to snitch on each other. Like I read this.
Oh yeah.
That one guy was talking about how him and his wife, he's like, mm-hmm. we never really talked about how we felt about Jim because yeah. we were scared one of us was going to get called up. And then, mm-hmm. cause he would like send people in to like complain and to see, like he was totally yeah. trying
was
to
like
get
people. Like putting, he was putting moles in things.
He yeah. Just, yeah. yeah. He was absolutely manipulating mm-hmm. And trying to get these people to just yeah. turn on each other essentially. Yep. Like he was, again, like he was acting as God. He thought he was like a superhuman though. He, like he yeah, thought he had like powers and weird shit, and it's just
it's that weird cult like thing where you he doesn't see, or he's just like, this is what I need to be doing type of situation. And one of the craziest foreshadowing, I'll just say, is he yeah. staged a rehearsal for a ritual mass suicide, giving people like these like a red drinks that everyone would take, and then he was like, you will die. And then he, after they drank it, he JK. Said it wasn't poison.
They would do this multiple times. Yeah, they called it like a what was it, like a whiteout or something, like
yes,
not a
whiteout.
Is that what the, some, white something?
I think it was called a whiteout.
Something like that. Like yeah. they would do this a lot.
It's, that's terrifying.
Yep.
That's extremely, it's extremely crazy. Like shit was going down at this comedy.
I mean, I feel like at that point, it's not even foreshadowing. It's just like telling you exactly how things are going to play out. It's kind of
yeah,
wild.
It's a little wild. But I think that's why, you know, eventually people were starting to question even being there, you know,
yeah.
obviously is what happened, yeah. you know, when the politician came and visited. But mm-hmm. Let's just break down a little bit what this actual commune in Guyana was. It was basically a remote jungle. So all these things that he had promised, we're going to have tons of food. I mean, I don't want to slip into a Trump impression, but I feel like it's, we're going to have tons of food, no mosquitoes, no snakes. The weather's going to be 72 every day. Like it just feels
like very,
very much a campaign promise that like, you yes. know, we're going to have pizza every day in the lunchroom.
Also,
it's
but that's
like
also something
wild.
That, like, I want that right now.
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But, essentially none of that was fucking true.
Yeah.
There was nothing, there was no electricity. This was not a wild, wild country. They did not make their own.
It, yeah. You
I mean,
know
they
what?
Did
say
not
what
make,
you want about Ma yeah. Anand Sheela, but they did the
she
damn thing
bitch
for a while.
Got shit
this was
done.
The fire festival of cults. It's like, come this here, we're
yes.
running water. You're like,
yes.
where's my sandwich?
And it was
sandwich?
Just a wet mattress.
Yes.
That's the new damn couch.
That's the new damn couch.
Wet mattress. But that's what I was thinking of the entire time I'm researching on this. I'm like, this is fire festival.
This is, it was basically, essentially it was hot.
Yeah.
It was not 72 degrees. There
no.
was mosquitoes and bugs everywhere.
Yeah, no shit. Mm-hmm.
There was literally people were getting sick from all these things. And not to mention the fact that he had taken away people's medications anyway. So there was no like, I mean, I think they had like nurses and doctors there, but I don't think that they knew how to handle this mm-mm. type of things. They couldn't even grow food. The jungle soil was just too thin to grow anything. So essentially they
Fools.
Had an inner circle that would go and beg for food to bring back, or they took like rotting food, and essentially people were hot and they were starving.
And
much
there was
like
no electricity or running water.
No, yeah, there's nothing. There was nothing that would make this an actual
fire festival.
Yeah, yeah. establishment. They would do, and on top of that, in this heat, with no food, with no water, he was having people do manual labor. They were essentially working on these fields that were essentially growing nothing. They were prisoners here
they
on
were,
this thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. yeah absolutely.
They were just held captive and were forced. Yeah, just.
Yeah, and they were being completely controlled by him. They couldn't even, their letters, like we said, their letters, their phone calls, everything was monitored by Jim Jones. He had even jimmy-rigged this PA system to on the commune so that whenever his voice came on, nobody was allowed to talk. So I guess not every jimmy-rigged, he just would play his voice and that was mm-hmm. time to shut up.
Which is like the worst summer camp reveille ever.
Honestly.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
Honestly, it's like, yeah, this comes on and it was time to stop what you're doing. Again, he put people out there to just test other people. He wouldn't allow people to complain. He didn't want people talking to each other because they didn't. I think all of this is like leading towards him kind of knowing that shit is like mm-hmm. maybe not going as planned. So
yeah.
This was all in place so that people couldn't talk to each other and plot like escapes or
yep.
or ways out.
Or even, I feel like, just even acknowledge that, like, hey, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going well.
Yeah. Like, this is not what we were... Yeah, exactly. This is not what we were promised. Like, it's not getting any better.
And it's like
so
what everyone's
far.
Thinking, but no one can talk
But nobody
about
can talk
it.
About yeah. it, because otherwise, if they get brought up, then they'll get, like, I guess punished or...
Yeah,
or,
I mean...
But shit's gonna
he'd
happen.
Already threatened them with, like, physical violence. Well, I feel
and
like
he was hitting him. He was being
and also it's that thing too where it's like you're in this land that you're not from. You don't have your passport. You have nothing.
Right.
Like, what am I going to do?
He took everything. You took your money. He took your. I mean, essentially, he was also getting custody of children. Like he was taking all the children, like lived in one house. So essentially he made it seem like it was one big family, but he was just separating people and separating families.
And they were, they're also in a remote jungle.
They're in a remote fucking jungle.
It's not like you could just leave and like,
no. You can't call an Uber. Yeah.
You can't call an Uber.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You're not buying your own plane ticket with based on selling rotten berries.
Yep.
So eventually, yes, people were kind of like, this is shit. And a couple people actually did try to escape. There were two kids. They tried to go to Venezuela, but it got dark. So they had to go to the main road and they ended up being caught by some of Jones's guards and they were brought back to the commune and they were punished. Jones would also just inject people with like Thorazine and just stuff that made them completely submissive, turn them into zombies essentially so that they wouldn't escape. So like he fucking knew. He knew he was losing his power.
Yeah. I don't think these people were really like there super willingly, because even if they're not being drugged, they're being like starved, they're being worked to the bone.
Their mental capacity. Yeah.
It's like you don't have the energy to resist.
Yeah, starving again was
like
the thing that next him.
Like, no one can barely stand, let alone run away from this cult they're trapped in.
So like we said before, he was eventually started to do these suicide drills that were crazy, and it was through these drills that he came up with this completely fucked up idea that if he were to do this, he would give it to the children first so the parents would not have a reason to live. Which is
so disgusting.
It's so disgusting. And at this point though, when it got down to this, when it started to get serious and people were trying to escape and the conditions were bad, there were still half the people that wanted to praise him. There were still half the people that like wanted to be part of this. They still kind of believed in the message. And like I said, that one person that was like, the work that we were trying to get done was great. It just wasn't in the right place.
All cults think that.
Absolutely. I think, it gets harder to just leave. But he actually was telling people, especially because we said like most of his congregation, a lot of the people were minorities, a lot of them being black. And he would actually say, you know, if you leave, you're going to get thrown into a government concentration camp. So he was also placing this nugget of fear that I'm the only one, it's like abusive. No one will love you like I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fucking crazy.
Damn.
It was wild. Wild on the commune.
Wild, wild country, you could say.
Yeah.
wild
Sorry,
west.
Guys. That was so bad.
Old Town Road. No.
That's wild, wild west.
Old Town Road. I still haven't heard that song in full, by the way.
What?
I know. People keep talking
it's
about
so
it.
It's so good. It's been stuck in my head every day since it came out.
Wow. I've only heard it on everybody's Instagram stories from every single fucking day. But I don't know.
It's so good. Got the horses in the back. We're going to
play. Tonight it happens.
Yes.
Tonight, after Jonestown, I listen to Old Town Road.
Honestly, you have to. Gotta lighten
those are my
up the
plans.
Mood.
What are you guys doing?
Hey, guys.
We're going to grab a glass of wine, let's talk about Jonestown, and then listen to Old Town Road.
And it sounds like a great night.
An apple to heart.
And then watch The Men Tell All.
Oh.
Sorry. This is,
I don't have
when
the
this,
for
when
that.
This comes out, The Bachelor will have already been done. But
true.
Crazy, right?
We're in the future.
As far as how things went south, I feel like with all cults, there's always just like a very rapid decline. This one took place in a very short time span. So, okay. Even though these people were not in the U.S., their families, loved ones, people were just concerned there that things were not going smoothly down in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
One incident in particular, according to The Guardian, was when a family in the U.S., won a custody order for a child in Jonestown.
Was this the same one that
I had just mentioned it earlier? Yeah.
Because was it Jim that Jim Jones had sex with? Because I didn't read.
Oh, that
I
same
thought it
kid?
Was
oh.
just.
Oh,
I thought
I
it was that these parents
that
actually.
I think
it
yeah.
was their kid, and Jim was just like, "Oh, he's my kid," and they were like, "Okay, I guess we'll sign this thing."
Yeah, I don't know, but it was bad. So.
And this must have happened so many times that there's like so different accounts. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah, so people started being like, "Hey, Congress people, can you guys like investigate this?
Help us."
Hey,
also
something's happening.
Yeah, around this time, the commune became an armed camp. Like Jim had bodyguards, and also just like. Armed guards around the camp, like they were trained to
cults are all the same.
Shoot any outsiders. So here's what happens. Representative Leo Ryan of California travels to Guyana with like some members of the press, some cultist relatives to investigate. Just a crew to investigate these abuse allegations. I think there was also like a couple filmmakers.
Yeah.
So
They were going to check it out.
Yep, they were going to check it out.
Yep.
Jones obviously rehearsed what everybody would say, and it was just basically this whole like smoke and mirror show. Like, yep, everybody's fine. You know?
It's like that scene in Get Out, which is like, no. Yeah.
Yikes.
Like they literally greeted him with dinner and a show.
Yeah. and
fucking wild.
His boys, yeah.
And this guy like actually believes it somehow, which was crazy to me until I read that basically he was leaving and somebody slipped his aide a note asking for help. Which is a huge no-no because nobody was supposed to have contact with Ryan. That was like a big thing, obviously, because then this house of cards would come crumbling down. So then Jones realizes that things are going south and fast.
Yep.
I honestly like would love to see this in a movie adaptation because I can just imagine it so dramatic, like Argo status, like, you know, they're running, like they're trying to get out. Oh. So Jones kicks Ryan out. He and the media crew and 14 defectors go to this airstrip to wait for their plane, but there are no planes, guys. This is so dramatic.
This is.
So this is
also Fire Festival.
Right? No planes.
No planes.
There's one extra person. The plane couldn't take off in Barbados.
Oh, my God.
No Bahamas. Fuck. Damn it.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
Again, not a geographical podcast.
Not a geographical.
Nope.
We are not that person.
Yep. So
we know where France is, though.
Okay. This is where it gets like literally like an action movie.
Seriously.
Jones took out a hit on these people, basically.
Yeah.
And so they're waiting at this airship for this plane. A tractor pulls up and just starts shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Leo Ryan is killed, as well as three members of the media and one of the defectors. And then after this, Jones knows it's fucking over. Like, you can't just kill a guy from Congress who was sent down to investigate you. And like expect nobody
raise some flags. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, Dream you're girls, not getting out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because I think there had been an expose. I think the magazine was called New West West Day.
It was
a day old West. West.
How the West was fun.
How the West was fun. It was.
I think that was like earlier. There was going to be this expose
New
published.
New West magazine, but I think that's kind of what prompted.
I think that was what prompted the move.
That's
a Kardashian child name.
So
too,
New West, New West Psalm Saint.
Yeah, basically,
north,
like
south,
people
east.
Knew what the fuck was going on down
people
there.
People knew,
or they knew that it wasn't right, and so after all these people end up dead, he's like, oh shit, like this is not gonna end well for me. So here's what happens. Jones knows it's all over. He gathers everybody in this, like, what was it, like a pavilion? I don't know.
What
just
it, like
a
like
large
a, yeah,
auditorium?
Big common
area.
It was all out, but it was outdoors.
Outside, it was?
I mean, but I think there was probably parts of it
like
covered. It was,
yeah,
there, it was,
like
it was
a
ever.
Forum?
It was 900
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
So it was all over.
He basically gathers everybody. He's like, all right, guys, we're doing a drill. He commands everybody to drink this cyanide-laced punch. And it's not even a fun fact that like we need to tell you guys, it's not Kool-Aid.
Just a fact.
It was Flavor Aid. Probably terrible marketing for the Flavor Aid company.
Right.
But anytime.
Or do you think that's why they told everyone? No, it was Kool-Aid.
Oh,
no,
genius. PR
Kool-Aid.
Move.
Yeah.
Like anytime. I mean, we've said it as one of our sign-ups as a joke before. But like when they say don't drink the Kool-Aid, that's where this is where
from.
That expression comes from.
It comes
but
from.
It is factually inaccurate. Also, the survivors really fucking hate that, which like I can imagine.
That's
fair. They're like, we get that it's part of like our culture now, but like it's kind of hurtful.
It's not everything has to be a meme.
I
totally
get that. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why I like to stick to tough titties, you know?
Yeah.
When I talk about cult lingo.
Tough titties.
Tough titties.
Sheila.
I mean, apparently, but you know, around my period when the tits get hard, that guy could be very offended.
Yeah. True. True.
Take it out of your vocab.
Yes. Also, as a fun fact, apparently Jones had obtained a jeweler's license, and that was how he got so much cyanide, which is like, where do you
get
cyanide?
I don't understand that sentence.
I don't know. Read it, because obviously it's like, how do you just have all the cyanide? And so the explanation that I read was that he had a jeweler's license. So at some point he...
What are jewelers doing?
I mean, he
with
was
cyanide?
Like a middle... He was like a mom in the Midwest that was like, I make earrings now.
Right? I have an essential oil for that.
Yeah. I make I'm selling my earrings. I mean, I'm not even going to knock it because I tried it at one point.
Like,
I made like two pairs and I was like, this
amazing.
Is hard. I bought all this
like,
stuff though.
You're like, what am I going to do with cyanide?
But I never got cyanide. Maybe that's why I was no good. I had no cyanide to dip my earrings
no
in.
No cyanide.
But that's why he had it, essentially.
Okay. Also, like, just the details of this...
Yeah.
Is why also I think calling it a mass suicide is just false. So I think I read, maybe this was history.com, that everybody was surrounded. They were instructed to drink this cyanide. Mm-hmm. They were surrounded by a row of guards with crossbows, and then behind those guards were guards with guns.
There was nobody
getting
out alive.
So you're not getting out alive.
You're gonna get killed one way or the other.
Yeah, they weren't like, oh, I guess I'll drink it. Like, you were literally not getting out of there alive. Also, the people who didn't drink the poison were injected with it. So really, nobody died willingly.
Yep. Because they found some of the bodies had like the marks were like on their back between it. Like there were marks where it's like you couldn't have done it if you were doing it yourself.
Yeah. And at first they hoped it was another rehearsal, but they quickly learned that it wasn't when they started with the babies
just
and the kids
and down there.
They were just like screaming and like, I don't know, probably foaming at the mouth or something, like just crazy, just getting so ill.
So gross.
Also, I read this detail that Jones recorded a tape so that everybody would think that everybody did this willingly, but he had to keep stopping and re-recording it because people would like protest and scream.
Well, because you got to think, this happened like he killed the people and this happened the same day, so like he had a quick turnaround. Like, when was he in the booth recording this fucking tape?
Well, he's probably just there with like a tape recorder.
It's hard to schedule recording a podcast, let alone a sign off of murder.
Truly.
Yep. So then Jones was shot either by himself or his nurse shot him. I think it's kind of contested. Doesn't really matter. Good riddance.
Yeah.
Yep.
You piece monster.
Yeah.
Police later found firearms, $500,000 in cash, stack of passports, and millions in an overseas bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And also, before 9/11, it was the largest loss of U.S. civilian lives not in a natural disaster. And over 900 people died, and a third of those people were minors. So it was just
so sad.
Gross.
Just lives that haven't even really started yet.
Yeah. It was terrible overall. So I feel like we did want to discuss this. So it is often called the largest, or it's called a mass suicide. Like, that's pretty colloquially.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a fair characterization. Yeah,
I feel like when you read that, like the phrase mass suicide, you think it's people all like, it's that image in your head of everyone going to a room, picking up Kool-Aid glasses, being like, cheers to our life, we wanted to do this type of thing, and then dying type of situation.
This was very, this was forceful.
Yeah. Not being held captive without any of your belongings, without your family, at gunpoint, given a glass of cyanide.
Also, they said children, it's not like children were willing, like these were babies.
A baby doesn't.
Yeah.
A baby's not making a decision to inject himself with cyanide and poison and things like that. So
yeah, so I definitely think this is a mass murder. And I can totally see why the survivors are fucking pissed, because I feel like the media is just, now there's been, I guess, sort of an effort to correct this characterization, but I just feel like it was so wrong. Like, I feel like growing up hearing about this, I was like, why would anybody do that? But it does just seem like they're like, okay, yeah, we're cool, we're at peace, we're gonna drink this Kool-Aid and we'll die and it's cool. But like, no, it was not cool.
No.
And kind of with that, you were saying that like some people actually did survive, including his son Jim Jones Jr., whose wife died.
Yeah, I think he was 18 at the time, and he was on. There was a couple people that were at the Capitol that were in Georgetown, and they were doing some like, kind of like
they kind of had like a different office. Yeah, I read that one lady got sent there to like work.
Yeah, they were kind of like talking about the church, and so they were
marketing.
They were they were essentially they were going to do morning radio essentially.
Yeah. Some of them killed themselves and some did not.
Because they called over to Georgetown and they were like, all right, we're doing this. And some people were like, you got it. Like, I read this account. Did you guys read that? It was like, this woman was like, okay, fine. And she like slit both her daughter's throats and then slit hers.
What?
And another guy then stabbed his daughter and then tried to kill himself, but he actually survived.
No.
And then he ended up having to go to jail, obviously.
Yes.
But a couple of them were over there and were like, we're not doing this. And a couple of them were like, still like gung-ho for the fucking mission, which is wild.
And to leave it, just like kind of finish the retelling and just like a not even a light moment, but just kind of a moment that we all kind of chuckled with. One woman did sleep through all of that. She literally woke up and was like, what? Like, type of situation.
Talk about,
which, could you imagine
a rude awakening?
Waking up and being like, oh.
Well, I think as she woke up and she, I mean, I think she is.
She was like an
older
lady.
She wrote a book. Yeah.
Girl, well, you got it.
Yeah.
That happened.
She woke up and kind of went out and was like, what the, you know? I guess there was a couple other people that just for pure luck of stupidity of the guards were able to escape. And but they were like essentially 30 miles in this jungle that they had nothing. They didn't know where they were going.
Yeah. One woman hid under a bed too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, Yeah, because essentially with everyone dying and with him, it's like, who's going to check on you? But then, so did the guards all
take it
then?
I wonder what happened to the guards. I don't know.
I know.
I didn't find that anywhere.
I didn't see that. That's wild. I mean, essentially, yeah, over 900 people and only a few dozen survivors.
Survived.
So
honestly, it's more than I thought initially, though, because I literally thought that every single person died.
Yeah. But I also didn't know it was like 900 people, too. I thought it was going to be like,
I thought it was like 60.
Same.
Because that's why I was like, oh, wow, this was an entire community.
Literally. Yeah.
And obviously, if you look at these pictures, the pictures are just wild.
Oh, they're awful.
They're so gruesome.
Major trigger warning for just.
It's not like gruesome. They're not blood, but it's just a bunch of face down. I mean, there's families. Yeah. They said they found a lot of people. Like, they found a lot of people with their arms around each other. People had actually had, like, bracelets had cardboard. But after this, there was rain. So by the time they got there, they said between the rain and the heat, like, these bodies were already on their way to decomposing. They said they showed up to this place and, like, had no fucking idea what to do with this. Mm-hmm. They were like, what do we even do? So they put people in bags and essentially they shipped everyone to Delaware. But a lot of these people were from Northern California, from like middle class families. So a lot of the families couldn't afford to get their families from Delaware back.
Oh my gosh.
So I think they even said that they still have a couple just recently. Well, actually, I don't know in this article. I'm saying in the last couple of years, they still found a couple like Jonestown bodies cremated that families have now since gone and picked up. But they made like a big memorial in Oakland. This woman actually raised a bunch of money to get this stone made, but then because there's so many bodies, the graves are so shallow that they couldn't like put a foundation because essentially there was only like inches of grass between because there were so many bodies. But I think then somebody else raised money and ended up putting the plaques, but it was like so much to get the plaques and then there was all this stuff.
Oh my goodness.
I guess she wouldn't like comment on it because, you know, it's like she was trying to do something and then it didn't like work out.
And also she doesn't want, because like I feel like you can also tell that she's like, I don't want to be the punchline of any news outlet.
Like she was trying to do something really nice and had these beautiful things and they're like, we can't even fucking put them up. This was a doozy one.
I know, and I feel like we barely scratched the surface, kind of like, yeah, I don't know. There's so much information out there. There's so many layers. Like,
yeah,
I listened to an entire 2-hour podcast just on like Jim Jones's childhood and upbringing alone.
Well, that, yeah.
And then I was like, okay,
there's so
I know
much
too much
him.
About this stuff. Yeah. But I also like, I don't want to like, I don't know. It's kind of like when people commit mass shootings and they only talk about the murderer. Like, I don't like talking about the murderer that much.
I know.
I want to make fun of her.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I love her.
Well, that's what they were saying. There was actually this whole thing because they put Jim's name on these plaques.
No, fuck that.
And they put it under, I think, James Jones. Like, they put it so it didn't just look like it. But I guess the argument for some people was like, some people were like, would you put Hitler's name on a plaque?
No,
but then other people were like, okay, but then do you also then, are we going to disclude all the parents that injected their babies? Are we going to include
but I feel like
the nurse? Are we going to not include the guards? Like, I mean, they got really trivial on it and eventually put his name on there as somebody who died there.
I mean, he did die there, but it's also like he was the instigator of all of it.
Yeah. It's a wild argument.
That's a weird argument to make. That doesn't make any sense.
Somebody made it.
Those parents weren't doing that out of their own way.
It's like they would have probably gotten murdered one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you weren't drinking the Flavor Aid or whatever. That's like a weird thing. Also, to like try to disguise it by saying James Jones, it's like, we're not idiots.
I think his name, like, I think there's parts of him alphabetically, and I read that it just so happens that his is like the last name on one of the things, too. And it's also interesting that his son, Jim Jones Jr., has like that video that you sent us, like, he's talking about how he decided to keep his name, even though it's like kind of associated. He's like, because I'm proud of my upbringing. Like, he's like, there were some good parts of like growing up in a church and things like that. Like, he's very much he actually said
he's like, there were good parts. I lived.
But he said, if I was there, I don't know what I would have done. Because he was like we said in Georgetown, he's like, I don't know if I would have done it or not.
Jesus,
what a wild thing to wrestle with for the rest of your life.
Especially the having a triple alliteration name too. That's just
James
Jones,
JJJ.
That's like that guy in the Fairly Odd Parents who's like Doug Dimmadome, the inventor of the Dimsdale Dimmadome. You know what I'm talking about?
Bitches drinking Flavor Aid over here.
You guys ever watched Fairly Odd Parents?
I did, but not.
I watched it when I babysat.
Yo, it's a great show. Oh,
I do remember liking it, though. It kind of has adult humor.
Sex and City is not my thing. I'm more of a Fairly Odd Parents.
Come on. The Fairly Odd Parents are so good.
They were, actually. I do remember liking it.
It's a great show. But my parents didn't let me watch that type of shit. Also, my mom has a personal vendetta against shows that have that stupid narration thing, like Sex and the City does.
Oh, I kind of
like a voiceover narration.
I kind of love that.
No, I don't like that. I think it's stupid. So yeah, my mom doesn't like that. So I feel like
your mom kept you from Sex and the City.
I mean, she was not going to let me watch a show called Sex and the City. Right. When I was when did that show even come out?
And now what are you doing? 90 You're having sex something. In the city.
Yeah, when I was like 5.
96?
No. Yeah, no. She was not about
were
it.
We 5?
Let me do that. Yeah. I was five or six.
All right.
Sorry.
I was drinking in a golf course and touching dicks. Yeah. And touching dicks. Okay.
I literally went to cafeteria.
I was like, that could put you at any age.
I was
a freshman. I'm not really
96,
sure.
I was a freshman in high school, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Just off of not believing in Santa Claus, freshly into touching dicks and golf courses.
Whoa. Oh, wow. You had
that's usually how that
it's
upbringing.
A big transition. You know, yeah. You start smoking cigarettes and you're like, show me the penises. Show me them penises.
Oh, my God.
Shipping to penis.
Drink that's Casey's 40. Pickup line at the bar.
Yeah. Okay. She had a full-on retainer. Yeah, show me the penis.
Show me your penises. I mean, that's what I asked first. That's what I asked for Santa. I was like, "Can I see your penis, please?"
Ew! Oh my God!
Ew, Santa.
Gross.
Taking a turn. Do you guys want to share with us? Do you guys want to DM us your meals?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Let us know your last meal.
Yeah.
And
also here's a fun little layer. What? Okay. You're dying. You get your last meal. So you get your sushi. You get your tempeh vegan fucking bullshit. And then and I get my cow's ass. And then you also get to fuck your celebrity crush.
Oh.
Tell me.
Honestly, yeah. I'll just commit a crime and end up in jail if I can do these things.
Yeah.
Who's the person you would?
I don't know, maybe Chadwick Boseman.
I was about to say, you post about Chadwick a lot.
I have a prayer candle of Chadwick Boseman. He's very cute.
Length and
width,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had initially mine was Taye Diggs, but there's so many actual stories about him kind of being a dirtbag that turns me off. Yeah.
That
but he's so hot. But I would have to say now, here's the creepy thing. Okay, I'm in my 30s, but I would sit on a Shawn Mendes in
Shawn Mendes is so cute.
Hello.
Yeah. I would if you're sit already in jail.
On a Noah Centre, whatever your fucking name is.
He's hot.
Santa-heyo. Yeah.
Shawn
Mendes.
Yeah, Shawn Mendes.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Shawn Mendes is a good one.
It is. And he's almost is still doing puberty voice when he sings. So, cracks.
He's going
like,
through it.
Why am I doing this to myself? Yes. Who would yours
Danny?
Be?
I don't know. I feel like, Shawn Mendes is a contender.
He's a contender.
He's good.
So he can just and he's going to be in the prison already. But I don't know, because Sex and City is on the brain. I'm like, do I do an Aiden or a Big?
You can expand your horizons. It doesn't have to be limited
to
Sex
and
the
City.
So
many people have told me in my life, expand your horizons for Sex and the City. But I went to a restaurant they go to all the time today for lunch. So I'm very
much restaurant?
Cafeteria, where I maybe saw Brie Larson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I would also do any of the Chris's. Hemsworth, Pine. Yeah. Evans would be my number one. Evans, I think Chris Evans is the number one.
Is that Captain America?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I liked him more from Not Another Teen Movie.
Ooh. I thought, that? I was like, did we interview him on this? Not Another True Crime
podcast? I was like, what?
Chris, if you're listening. Oh, I love With the Whipped Cream.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that,
it was
him?
Yeah.
My God.
So I remember watching that in college being like,
he's so cute.
And he's age appropriate for me. Yeah. Thank you so much. So Shawn Mendes or who?
Anyone, if you even an extra from Sex and the City.
Even an extra? Justin Theroux was in that twice.
True, twice. Bradley Cooper was in it.
Bradley Cooper was in it.
Launched all the careers.
Yeah, it did. So send us, what would you eat? Who would you
screw? Who would you eat?
What would you eat? Who would you screw?
Yeah.
Yes, DM us, NATC pod. Yeah. Just send us that. Also, send us your opinions. I mean, you guys are going to do it anyway, but we welcome it, is what I'm trying to say. No, everyone's always like, oh, yeah, I have this theory about this.
Oh,
yeah.
We love a good theory.
And also their theories are ones that I'm like, shit, I wish I thought of that theory before recording because they're so good. Yeah, I'm literally how'd you connect those dots? And I didn't.
Yep.
Jeez, yeah. Because we did we, I don't think we did on the last episode discuss all the damp couch theories.
They were all the same.
So you guys, much damp couch.
So many
but
alarming.
People love a damp couch.
I know that this is now a couple weeks, but you guys with the damp couch and the pee and the vomit, you guys will wipe.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's like, when the body goes through lividity and rigor mortis and we're like, okay, why do you know this?
That I'm like, isn't lividity a church word? But I'm like, no, I guess
sounds like it.
Leviticus.
Yeah.
Leviticus.
a book of the Bible.
Leviticus Lividity. That's my stripper name. There we go. I just wear a Bible pages on my.
You're like, Shawn Mendes, stop repent. It. Yeah.
Shawn Mendes needs to repent. Yeah. Stat.
10 Hail Marys.
Gross. 10 Hail.
You like douse yourself with Flavor-Aid.
Sarah!
Whatever gets them
all.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
You guys what? Are... Okay, whatever. I'm like, you guys already took it there. I'm not the bad
brought,
guy
You
this.
Brought it back to Jonestown.
Leviticus, Lividity, come on.
We're going to take that's it somewhere true. New because Sarah has a very special sign-off.
Oh, us. Yes. Oh, okay, special true. Sign-off from another famed Jim Jones. We fly high, no lie. You know this. Ballin!
Oh, God.
Betches.